T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. It's the Food Show, and it's nice to be here with you every chance we get so we can talk about the food scene around New Orleans. There is much to talk about all the time. Before I get into that a little bit more, I'm looking here at the radar and seeing that most of the rain in the area is way the heck out into the Gulf of Mexico and almost down to Venice. And it doesn't seem to be coming our way at all, except there was one little patch just north of Slidell. So it's, I think today will wind up be a relatively pleasant day. And you know what else is on my mind about this is that we are seeing, for some reason, an increasing number of restaurants that have live music in them. And I'm not talking about the kind that is so loud that you will no longer be able to keep a conversation going, but where it's actually listenable in the background. You don't have to listen to it if you don't want to listen to it. There are a lot. You might say that is just about true of all music, isn't it? No, indeed. I mean, there's a lot of music out there that does not want to give even a little bit on their loudness way of looking at things. And anyway, what brought it to mind was just yesterday, I was on my way home from the Wine and Food Experience event, and I was a little tired, and also had a reunion to go to of the last 50 years of my high school graduating class. And, a lot of talking, a lot of catching up to be done there. But by the time I was done, I'd been walking around and talking to people for about 4 hours, and I was just a little tired, and I stopped over at Andrea's restaurant in Metairie, where on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, he has live music. And he does it, it's not just playing off of a tape or anything like that. It is actual musicians right there. And I'm seeing more and more of that. And I was wondering if you did too. And what does this mean? Does this mean the next thing is that some of the music setups will start trying to bring in more food? I don't know. That's what goes on at the jazz festival anyway. Our number is 260-1870 is our number. We'd love to hear from you about anything about eating and drinking and restaurants and cooking. And, you know, as long as I was talking about Andrea's, let me finish off. That started out as a commercial and it got derailed after a minute. Andrea's is a great place to have in the back of your mind if you ever have a private event that needs to take place, everything from a business meeting up to a wedding or anything that goes with the weddings that might have been lucky enough to get into your life. And that just is because they have 4 different private dining rooms there. One of them is rather large. It would have been one of the major size restaurants in the whole city if they did operate by themselves, which they don't. The important thing about this, though, if you want to use their facilities and their kitchen, is that you make the reservation well in advance, because, you know, that's how you get the good tables, and whether it's just 5 people going out together or 105 people. And they're ready to take care of that for you at Andrea's. They're on Causeway, right across Causeway Boulevard from Lakeside Mall. And they are open 7 days a week for lunch and for dinner. And if you want something very specific, ask Chef Andrea. He never turns anybody down, near as I can tell. Andrea's in Metairie since, 1986, I think? 84? It was around then, anyway. 260. 260-1870. Quinn is joining us. Hello there.
How are you?
Quinn, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, I can.
Tom, I'm calling. My favorite Vietnamese restaurant, Kim Son, is going to be closed.
That's what I heard.
Yes, they have apparently have some illness in the chef or something. Anyway, so they're closing. And when I went there, it was in the newspaper, and I went there about a week ago. And my wife, I like it too, but my wife just loves the salt-baked crab.
What a dish that is, huh?
That's what
grabbed me about the first time I went there. We were actually doing a TV piece out there. Believe it or not, I was on TV for a little while. And they did the those hard shell crabs with this really fantastic sauce. It was one of the most delicious things I've ever eaten.
It is, and they often don't have it now. And but you know, just as an aside, we went to an eat club dinner there maybe 20 years ago with you.
That was the
most fabulous. We went to a number of them, but that was the most fabulous one we ever went to. And that was what gave us confidence to really try Vietnamese dishes there, because it was, that was really a bargain, too, that night. Everything was so good. But anyway, I asked, they have a young man there. He used to be a busboy, and he's now a waiter. His name is Ant. He's a very good waiter. So I asked him, where could we possibly get salt-baked crab? He said he didn't know any place. He said, you might be able to go to Houston. They have it at a Kim Son restaurant there, but it's served, buffet style. I said, well, we're not going to Houston for it. Do you have any ideas of where we might get it?
I'm pretty sure that I'm drawing a blank on the name of the place, but it's only about a block away from Kim Son.
Really?
Yeah, let me, This getting older stuff makes it hard to remember things.
I know.
We have a it is on. Oh gosh, no kidding. It's no more than three blocks away from Kim Son, and it's the same kind of menu pretty much. Give me a minute, and I will keep listening, and I will check it out in my database, and I'll tell you the name of it. But I'm surprised that you haven't been there yet. If you've been to Kim Son,
we haven't tried. But we like Kim Son so much that we just go there all the time. And anyway, let me tell you about this young waiter.
Okay,
Andy. He was there. He's such a good. He's so good. He remembers everything I did and so forth. He's only been a waiter for 2 or 3 years. And I asked him the other day, well, what are you going to do now? He said, I don't know. And he said, I'm not going to be in the restaurant business. I said, why not? You're really good at it. He said, this is hard work. He said, I was a busboy since I was 13, and I'm not going to do it. And then
that is certainly true. This is why I've never gotten in the restaurant business, because knowing it as I do, it is work and real work all the time. And that is that. And if you are trying to escape that, that's probably not the thing for you to do. But on the other hand, those guys, they set a new standard there. And it was just fantastic.
Is the place
Nine Roses, that is it. Nine Roses. Did you ever go to Nine Roses?
I do, but I don't think they have salt-baked crab.
I think they do. I have a recollection of eating it there. I know their menu is enormous. They have
everything. It is enormous, and it's very good. It's not quite the same as Kim Son, but
no two restaurants are the same anyway. You're never going to see that. Give it another try. My luck there has been very good as it has been at Kim Son over the years too.
Well, it is very good. It's just not quite. You know, I don't know whether they have that salt-baked crab. But can I say something else about Andy before I finish?
Sure. Yeah.
But he's over there talking to me, and one of the older lady waitresses comes and brings us some lights or something. Sits down, and I said, by the way, this young man is a very good waiter. She says, thank you for saying that. She says, but he doesn't want to work. She laughed. And you said, that was my mom.
There you go. Well, that was a sorrowful thing, all right, and I'm going to miss that restaurant. Kim Son and then Nine Roses, both of them were Vietnamese restaurants that had kind of they were in the same neighborhood, but they started off in kind of the same way, and that is that when these Vietnamese people first came to New Orleans, you know, when they were refugees and they found themselves here and we took them in, one of the first things they did was open up restaurants because it was something that they were good at, really good at it at that. And it received some problems with with getting customers in because there were a lot of people in New Orleans who had never, ever had Vietnamese food. And because that was a kind of a tough sell, what they wound up doing was kind of hinting that it was really Chinese food. And if you just ate it, you would find it familiar and delicious. And that technique actually worked pretty well. And they managed to develop a good clientele, and that still goes on to this day. And that has been a really bright side of the Asian side of the restaurant business for a long time. All right, we will come back with more of the food show after first, please, this. This is Tom Fitzmaurice, and we talk about food here. That's all. But that's a lot, you know, because we have a lot of food to be covered. The wine and food experience is going on even as we speak. They are in the convention center. I don't know if you can get tickets at the door or not. But I'm not sure one way or the other. But worth taking a look at. That goes on for about 3 hours. Lots of food from the local restaurants, lots of wines from all over the place, and you just walk through there. I think it's $130. Don't hold me on that. And it is going on right now. And what else is left after that? There's they might be doing some seminars after, but I'm not sure. The whole program this year has been a little different from what I'm used to. But, you know, change always happens anyway. 260-1870 is our telephone number. Give us a call and tell us where you've been eating or what you'd like to be eating, what has thrilled you lately, what's been delicious, what's been not so delicious. Share that with us, would you? Because we're all looking for that ourselves. And we ought to share what we find when we dig around. So let us know. Any eat clubs coming up, I've just been asked. No, the answer is no. We don't have any at the moment. But I'll say this. The one we did last week at the it's the one with the name that I can never remember. Let's see. It's Vianne, we have that from the lady who has the name Vianne, she says, or Vian, if you want. Anyway, this is right next door to Emeril's new restaurant, Merrill. It's on Girard Street, right off of Chapultepec. And I've now been there about six or so times, several of them lately. Last week, I went there for dinner mainly because the downtown area was flooded and I couldn't get away from downtown. So I said, well, the heck with it. I'll just walk over there and have dinner. And it was delightful, as all the ones I've had there have been. That's a coming star there, I think. We're going to hear much more about them as time goes on. The food show, 260-1870. Call right now and you'll get right in. Our program is sponsored by Paran's Poor Boys, and they have a sandwich over there that a couple other restaurants have been using, but not many. And I think it's so good that you ought to know about it and give it a try someday. They call it just simply their Italian Poor Boy. And what they do is they have a loaf of French bread, you know, your standard loaf of Poor Boy bread, cut it from end to end, and then lay down a thin layer of mozzarella cheese. You can use the American style, which is kind of cheesy and thick and all that. Or you can use the Italian kind, which is creamier and much lower a degree of that kind of cheesy kind of. I wish I had a better word for it at the moment, but that's not there either. So you have the mozzarella cheese on the bread. And then you slice up some meatballs or some Italian sausage or whatever else along those lines that sounds good. And you kind of layer that on the French bread with the pizza on or with the sauce on the top and the cheese. And then you come back with the sauce last. And then you kind of do the reverse scene. You put on the meatballs and spaghetti. Well, not the spaghetti, but the meatballs and the Italian sausage. And you build it back up again till you have mozzarella once again against the uppermost French bread. And then you put the two together. You put the whole thing in the oven until it toasts on the outside. And is that ever good? It's a poor boy made in the style of kind of bruschelloni in a way. I mean, it's got a lot of the same ingredients and put together the same way. If you've never had this before, go on over to Paran's Poor Boys. You have now three choices of restaurants where you can go. There's the original location, 3939 Veterans Highway, near, what are they close to? Corner of, what's that street? I can't think of it. Anyway, then you another option for you is to go to the one in Kenner. That's on West Esplanade, about three, 4 blocks away from, what's that other street? Williams Boulevard. How could I forget that? And then finally, in the Uptown section on Britannia Street at the corner of Upper Line, they have opened up there, and all of them have the same routine about them, and that is they cook everything in-house. They don't get, you know, a poor boy shop could open and not cook a single thing in it. He can just get it all brought in with the bread and everything. Everything's been put together and sliced up. That's not what you are after or I'm after, that's for sure. I want to taste the poor boys that have been prepared where I bought them and ate them. Paran's Poor Boys will do that for you. They are there every day except on Sunday. They take the day off on Sunday. The other days of the week, they are open every day and all day long, too. So if you're running a little late for lunch or early for dinner, no problem. Paran's Poor Boys, 260-1870. Call right now and you'll get right in. We'd love to hear from you about whatever's cooking over at your house. If you're having a problem with a recipe, I'd be very pleased to hear what that might be, and maybe we can figure out what the problem is. Maybe it's incredibly simple. Probably is, in fact. And if you have stumbled into something really delicious lately in your going out to eat in restaurants or when you were cooking it at home, but if you came up with something good, would you please share it with everybody else? It's so easy. Just call me on the phone here, 260-1870. Tell me how you make this, and I'll just put it out to the public there and let them enjoy it as well. Why not? You know, because every now and then I'll talk to somebody who says that he refuses to give his recipes away. Well, let's talk about that in a minute. We've got a report in from CBS, and then more of the Food Show. Hang on. Hello, it's the Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. Let's get right back to the phone, shall we? Quinn. No, that's not Quinn. It's Victor. Victor, welcome to the Food Show.
Hey, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Hey, I've been wondering where in town can you buy which restaurant can you get a stuffed flounder at?
A stuffed flounder. I'll tell you two places. One of them is kind of, I wouldn't call it expensive, but it's a little upscale. The Pelican Club, it's on Exchange Alley at the corner of Bienville Street. That's right across the street from the Monteleon Hotel. Anyway, that's their house specialty. They sell more of that than anything else. It's a whole flounder stuffed with the crab meat and with the sauce over the top, the brown butter. On top of it, really great and not expensive, not for what it is. It's really huge, among other things. The other one is Fury's in Metairie. They're right on the other side of the highway from Dornack Supermarket, and they.
I was going to say Fury's. I was thinking about that place.
Fury's. They, Mr. Fury, John Fury, for a long time he worked at the Bounty, which was in West End, so he knew all about flounders, because that's the kind of heavenly fish in West End, and he put that on the menu there, and he says the right words before he sells it to you, and that is, if they can't get it fresh, they don't take it at all. So when you go there, it's going to be nice and fresh and really good. That I think that's those two places will do a real nice job for you.
That's the ticket. You know, yeah. I don't understand. It used to be, they used to have the stuff lines everywhere, and then hardly anybody has them, you know?
Yeah. Well, for a long time, there was a problem with them that they had been kind of, their population had been, dispersed pretty badly. Something happens to the population of a fish, you know, it can disappear for a while, sometimes forever. But
yeah,
that
maybe
one,
I had
that one did okay.
That.
What? I'm sorry, what?
Maybe I had something to do with that.
Well, I hope you don't eat that much. Yeah. All right, well, good luck. Thank you. Sandy is over here on the green phone. Sandy?
Hi.
Hi there. Hey there.
I am calling about my mom, one of my mom's dishes she used to make it when we were kids. It's a veal stuffed pocket. And a lot of places, butchers you go to, don't even know what a pocket is.
Yes, that's true. I know of only one place that I'm absolutely positive will have it. But even they might tell you, well, we'll get it for you tomorrow. Because not very few people eat it. Now, here's the funny part. You're gonna find this surprising. The butchers that I was talking to were the ones over at Langenstein's. And Langenstein's has always had a really great butcher shop. I mean, that's what they're all about to a great degree. Anyway, and I said, but do you have veal pockets? And the butcher kind of rolled his eyes and he said, we have it all right, and people ask us for it all the time, and they never, ever come through and buy it. And he says, we can have it all the time, but nobody actually eats it, and nobody cooks it. So this is a problem. Now, you can track down a recipe easily enough, and you can call them and say, you know, give them some time, you know, give them 2 or 3 days to get it together, and you'll get it from them.
Well, I'm going to do it.
Dornack's and Langen's. What?
I live on the North Shore, so yeah. I was going to try and see if Sia's has it, because that's a neat market over here.
Yeah.
But you ask any young butcher, they don't know what it is.
They don't know what it is at all, and neither does anybody else. It is
one of
those things. Well, I guess so. I'm not a big fan of it myself, but that doesn't mean anything.
Well, so,
but try out. Try, go into those places I just named for you.
I will.
And then ask them if they have any recipes or tips. And if they don't, you can certainly find it online. I guarantee
online.
You
Great.
You're going to find that somewhere.
Great.
Online. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much for your help.
Thank you. My pleasure. See ya. That gets talked about all the time. Larry, welcome to the food show.
How are you today, Tom?
I'm doing well. What about you?
Pretty good. I'm in Nevada, and it's still sunny. So the air is a little thick. You know, the oxygen is kind of sucked out of the air right now. But my question, I was going to comment on the onions, but I'm going to not put you through that. But flounder, the first seafood restaurant I worked in the North Shore, we had to debone the flounder and stuff it per order.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I really learned how to do it quick. And there is no secret to it. And
yeah.
Let me tell you, it puts you on the spot when you had orders coming in and you had to stuff a flounder. And
yeah.
you had to do it from scratch, you know. The ones that wanted it just stuffed was fine, but deboned was a whole nother story.
You know, my thinking about that is, if I'm going to get something like that that is kind of difficult to make, really, that's the reason it takes so long.
Oh,
it's just not something.
Oh, and, fresh.
And if I go to a restaurant and I order something like that, I'm always ready for it to be a while before I get it, because it's like fried chicken. You go to a restaurant and you say you want fried chicken. The waitress better tell you, that'll take another half hour.
Minutes, right.
Yeah, because if you don't, then it's something that came out from under a heat lamp, and you know that's
right. It's something special.
That's
how this place was. They had a seafood place in back. which was the husband that ran that, and the wife ran the restaurant. And I started there as a dishwasher because I knew nothing about seafood. This was in 1983, and I left there as the head cook.
Well, good.
So
lucky.
Yeah, it was a good experience and that. But I just wanted to follow up on the flounder. It is a missing
link
plate in the restaurant.
Yeah,
that are around. It's not there that much anymore.
Yeah,
like it used
to
be. And it's a beautiful. It's a beautiful fish when it's done right.
Yeah, it really is. I agree with you.
And, you know, it's like it comes out on a platter, and oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you very much for sharing all that with us. Bye. It's the Food Show. Mark is joining us over here on the yellow phone. Mark?
Hello, Tom. Mark. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Might be a little late on your phone. Last night, the special at Deanie's on Haines was stuffed flounder with crab meat. And it was
well. I wouldn't be surprised at that. Those people who run that restaurant are pretty sharp, I think.
They're doing very well, and like my suggestion is, if you like a good dessert, get there a little early, because all the food's good, but she sure makes some good desserts.
Yep, yeah. That's a good little place right there on Hain Boulevard. Yeah.
That's right. So I enjoyed it. I just want to pass that on. They'll do the flowers again, but they always have good specials.
Thanks for sharing that with us. See you later. It's the Food Show. Paula, welcome.
Hey, Tom.
Look,
on that veal pocket, my aunt used to cook it every now and then. Mm-hmm. She stuffed it with oyster dressing. And what she did when she knew she was going to make it, like you said, she called her butcher, you know, a couple of days ahead of time, and they had it ready for her.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. There's no other way to do it.
Oh, gosh, it's so good. I wish I had... could eat some right now.
Well,
it was really delicious.
It turns up mostly during the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas. The butchers say that they have a run on it, but it's still not a whole lot of run. It's
no, just, you very rarely, when that lady said it, it reminded me of my aunt. I said, I got to call and tell you how much I loved it. Okay, we all have a good weekend.
Thanks for sharing. Bye. It's the Food Show. Felix is here. Felix, welcome.
How you doing, buddy? Where's your favorite place to eat red beans and rice?
My favorite place to eat red beans and rice lately, this would be my North Shore place because I live over there, the New Orleans Food and Spirits. They have it all the time, in fact. They have it Monday through Sunday. It's always there. Let's see. I don't know if they're open on Monday, but if the Pepper Mill is open on Monday. The last time I had red beans there, in fact, it was about three times in a row over a period of about 6 months. I thought theirs was as good as any I've ever had.
Well,
so that's a couple.
Hidden gem.
It is, yeah, it really is. They have they do a lot of great food there.
I'm going to give you a hidden gem. 801 Rome in the French Quarter. I mean, it don't matter what day you go there. Oh, my God. That red beans and rice at 801 Rome on the corner of St. Anna Rome is... The best. I mean,
I don't know what they do.
It's the best.
I don't know. It looks like a touristy place when you're looking at it from outside, but they actually do a good job of everything there. It's right behind St. Louis Cathedral.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Right
all
on
right.
that corner. I mean, that red beans and rice and the seafood nacho, that's all
good
I get
stuff.
When I go there.
Yeah, well, who could blame you? Well, thanks for calling. See ya. It's the Food Show. We're getting a little lightning and thunder over here at the Coolwater Ranch. Wonder where that came from. Our number is 260-1870, and we'll return with more of the Food Show after first. Please, this. Tom Fitzmaurice. Boy, it's been a fun day today. Nice being here on Saturdays or Sundays or both sometimes. This is a little foreboding for us as we watch for the possible advent of one of those tropical storms, as we are asked to call them. And it's the first of the year, and its name is Alberto, you say? Yeah. Well, there it is. I just heard a little lightning and thunder just now over here at the Coolwater Ranch. Today is National Blueberry Cheesecake Day. Now, imagine that. Who? I wonder who came along and declared that. National Blueberry Cheesecake Day. I will say this, though. If you were to get a well-made cheesecake and you were to put some cherries or blueberries on top of it, and if you had cooked them a little bit, and you would wind up with something pretty darn good. It's also National Cherry Dessert Day. This is a bunch of different desserts you can have that are made with cherries. They are cooked down in a syrup right there in the pan. And you don't flame it. Well, you do flame it. You can flame it or you cannot, as you like, with kirsch, which is classic. Or you could serve it over ice cream. It is believed to have been created by no less than Auguste Escoffier, who was the arbiter of classical French cooking back in the 1800s. The occasion was Queen Victoria's 50th Jubilee, and Escoffier made up a cherry-flavored cheesecake, especially for her. It didn't have any ice cream in it, but it was such a natural to add the blueberries that it or the cherries, that it has gone on ever since. So that's not bad. It sounds good. Speaking of the cherries, this is all, by the way, from our food almanac that I write every day. The Gourmet Gazetteer portion of this, a gazetteer is like an encyclopedia or a dictionary, except that it covers only place names. So we have Cherrytown. It's a little over a mile south of the Mason-Dixon line in north-central Maryland. It's 45 miles northwest of Baltimore. It's in a mix of open fields and woods in rolling terrain with farmhouses and country homes and people who work in the city. It's a pretty area. There's even a white tablecloth restaurant about a mile away from it. The name of the place is Bud's at Silver Run, with good crab cakes and prime rib. I'll bet you the crab cakes that they use came from us here in New Orleans. Our edible dictionary of the day offers you this word, marjolaine. Marolaine. It is a neglected French dessert made by layering several flavored meringues on top of one another, and then you bake them. The meringues are flavored with almonds, hazelnuts, cocoa. Sometimes the meringues, they have sandwich between them, puff pastry. And another variation is to separate all of the various layers with the chocolate and the mocha and all the rest of it. What comes out of this is a sort of cloud-like cake that has this wonderful, yummy, nutty flavor. Doesn't hold up long, so you have to eat it pretty much right after you made it. But there it is. And then on this date in 1971, a song that I really don't like became, I think, a number one hit. I believe so. 1971, Don McLean. Yeah, you know, American Pie. It wasn't about pie at all. Instead, they were stirring up nostalgia among those who could figure out what it meant for the late 1950s. It was, wasn't long before the gourmet era began and we could get away from it. Let's see, what else? Celebrity Chef Day. Today, TV's third Japanese Iron Chef. He was with the Masahiro Morimoto. Morimoto, that was his name. Masaharu Morimoto. Okay. Well, he was born today in 1955 in Hiroshima. After working in New York at Nobu, which is quite a place, and some other high-profile establishments, he opened up a restaurant under his own name in Philadelphia. And I've never been there, but I'll bet you it's something. Well, I think we've about wiped out the whole show here. We'll be back in a moment, I think, after first please this. Hello, it's the food show. Charles, welcome. Charles, go. We're very low on time.
I was wondering who serves the best carpaccio in the city.
I would say Le Petit Grocery or Andrea's, one of the two. Both of those have it on the menu all the time, at the very least. Which is, it's not a commonly seen dish particularly. But it's out there here and there. All right, so let's see. Anthony, welcome to our show.
Hey, Tom, how are you this afternoon?
Hi, I'm good. Running out of time, but we're otherwise fine. What?
You guys must be getting the word out, because I was at lunch at the New Paran's Uptown, and I seen Archie Manning in there picking up an order to go.
Oh, what do you know? that figures. They do a job over there.
I agree. Okay. That's all I got.
All right. Thanks a lot. That's enough.
Thank you.
That more or less brings to an end our program for today. I might be on tomorrow. I'm not sure. And if not, I'm definitely not on Monday. Then we'll be back with our regular program on 105.3 FM HD2. WWL Radio, New Orleans. WWL FM HD1, Kenner, New Orleans, where the news is next over most of these same frequencies from CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.